I say, you know, Vic, it's just like it's Sunday morning. No, it's not. No, it's not. So anyway, I just want to tell you that it's not like Sunday morning. So, I got all my Bibles up here just like I do on Sunday mornings and everything, but I've only got three this time, so that should be a little different. So, let's go ahead and pray and we'll get started, okay? Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity that you have given to me to speak to your people tonight. Father God, I just commit this service to you. And I ask you, Father God, just to guide me and give me the words that you would have me to speak tonight. And Father God, I will speak them. I will speak them. I trust you and I rest in you. And I just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Whew. Melvin was supposed to bring me some water. I don't know if he forgot or not or whatever, but Brother Paul, go tell Melvin to get me some water. You know how Melvin is. All right, we're going to be speaking on Ephesians 3:20 tonight. Thank you, sir. Now, I'm not really sure where this is going to go or what's going to happen or where God's going to lead or whatever, but that's where we're going to start. Doesn't mean that's where we're going to end up, but that's where we're going to start, okay? And I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Bible, and I'm also going to read it to you from the NIV. Ephesians 3:20. But first I want to start with the NIV. Okay? It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Now this is what it says from the Amplified Bible. It really breaks it down. Okay? It says, "Now to him who, by inconsequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely," he's going to go way beyond, "our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." That's the kind of God we serve. That is the kind of God we serve. We serve a God of excellence. Excellence. I mean, God takes no shortcuts. None. He is a God of quality. And he does it right the first time. It's not like us. We have to do things over and over and over and over and over and over. He gets it right the first time. In Genesis 1, we're going to flip way back, okay? In Genesis 1, it's talking about, the first chapter talks about creation and, you know, all that God did, all that he created. In the last verse of chapter 1 says, this is from the New Living, it says, "Then God," this is verse 31, "then God looked over all he had made And he saw that it was excellent in every way. This all happened on the sixth day. A God of excellency. Now, just a few little flips over, we get to Genesis 6, verse 11. And here, he's talking about Noah, okay? And God gives Noah precise instructions on how he is to design and construct the best, most excellent ark. Now, Melvin and I went to see the ark this past, well, we saw a replica of the ark this past June. Amazing, okay? We cried. We cried when we saw it. And we go through, and when you walk up, you know, the thunder, you can hear the thunder outside. You can hear lightning striking. You can hear the rain falling down on the roof of the ark. And you walk in and you go through all these little, you know, little displays they got up and everything. And one thing they had was a movie. And it was supposedly an interview that was taking place back in the day, which we know that could not have happened because they don't have technology. But it was supposed to be, this woman was interviewing Noah. And she said, well, why did you build it here? Why did you build it so big? Why? And he kept saying, God told me to. God told me to. This is what God said. He told me this is how you build it. And so that's what I did. I built it the way God instructed me to build it. Now we walked through there. I mean, it was amazing. It is 1.5 football fields long. It had 3 kilns. This wasn't a canoe, people. This was, he had 3. And you go through it and they show you what would have happened if it only had 1. What would happen if they had built it circular instead of the way he did? What would happen if he had built it this way or that way? He built it exactly like God told him to build it. Exactly. And God said, hey, you got to put some pitch on the inside and outside. Now, I got to tell you, I get tired cleaning my house. Okay? And don't even ask Melvin to do anything. Because after, you know, 12 minutes, he's off doing something else and all this other kind of stuff. But you think about Noah and his family and how long it took them to build this day in and day out, being ridiculed day after day after day. And, you know, what if he had taken some shortcuts? What if he had said, look, I'm not putting pitch all the way inside and out like God said to. I'll put it halfway up. This was a four-story building. God told him, he said, make a lower deck, a middle deck, and an upper deck, and then put, you know, a walkway around the top. He did exactly what God said. He said to build it out of gopher wood. It is amazing. If y'all haven't been, y'all need to go, okay? But like I told y'all, this was not a canoe that Noah built. You know, God told Noah exactly what he was to do. And he told him, he said, look, you know, you and your family go into this ark, y'all will be saved. And the pairs of animals, which he took male and female, which shows that, you know, male and female, this world today, you got shims and all kinds of things out there. But God took, said, look, you take a male and you take a female and they're going to repopulate the earth. Okay? Two guys cannot repopulate the earth. Two women cannot repopulate the earth. It takes a man and a woman to repopulate. Okay? Male and female. Okay, that's my little thing for tonight, okay, on that deal. But he told him, and he shut the door. God shut the door. There's a, Mel and I got a picture in front of a door. The door. It is huge. I mean, that door, it would be like from the floor to the ceiling. It is huge. Huge. And one Sunday, I'm going to teach on doors in the Bible. Because those people that went into the door, they were saved. Everybody else outside the door, lost. The ark represented Jesus. When you come into Him, He takes you. Everything else is destroyed. So, anyway, But one Sunday I'm going to teach on doors. I want to teach on doors, okay? So, anyway, Noah didn't take any shortcuts. He did not take any shortcuts because if he did, what would have happened? There would be no Noah and there would be no us. None, okay? So when God does something, it's never done carelessly, and it's never done haphazardly. God is a God of excellence. Now, not only does that describe God, but it also describes Jesus and the way He was. John 2, you can go there if you want to. John 2 is when Jesus was at the wedding and He turned the water into wine. Okay? Let me find what verse I want. It's from 1 to 10 in chapter 2. And it said, in verse 10 it says, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after guests have had a little bit too much to drink. But you saved the best to now. Jesus walked in excellence. Mark 7. That's when it's 7:32 through 37. In Mark 7, it's talking about where He touched the deaf and dumb man and it loosed his tongue. Well, in the Amplified, verse 35 says that his ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak distinctly and as he should. That meant he used correct and proper grammar. Some of us have been to school and been on this earth for a long time, me included, and I have yet to use proper grammar and proper speech. You know, I'll say ain't in a minute. You know, it ain't none of yours. You know, that's how I am. Okay. In Mark 8, it's where Jesus healed a blind man. Now, it said that the blind man, after Jesus touched his eyes, he said, can you see anything? He says, oh, I can see some people way off, but they look like little trees moving. So Jesus touched him again. He could see plainly and from afar off. Afar off, he could see plainly. So when Jesus does something, he does it right. Okay? He does it in excellence. Let's go to John 6. I will go to this one. John 6. And it's verses 1 through 13. And this is where Jesus feeds the 5,000 people. It says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples, and the Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not be enough to buy bread. Would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, "Here is a little boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish." He felt like putting a foot in his mouth then, because he was like, "Oh man, this is... there's 5,000 people here, and I just said, here's a little boy with a little lunch." All right? But how far will that go among so many? Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down. There were about 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I can eat more than, you know, what that little boy brought for lunch, you know, so that's just me. I don't know how much y'all can eat, but that's just me. Now, when they had all had enough to eat, that's at least 5,000 men. Let's say they all had a wife. That's 10,000. Let's say they had 2 or 3 children each. How many people could be fed off of 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish? It says, when they had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. 12 baskets. 12. Just let that sink into your head. They had 12 basketfuls left over. They started with 1 basket. They ended up with 12 baskets. Can you see that little boy going home to his mama going, "Hey, mama," you know. 12 baskets. So, our God is a God of more than enough. A more than enough. He not only meets our needs, but he will surpass and exceed our needs. And you know what? You need to take the limits off of God and just let him do what he wants to do with you and in your life. You know, we can limit what God does in our lives, by assuming what is and is not possible? Oh, you know why? Because we're looking at ourselves and we're not looking at God. You know, God is excellence. He can go far above all that you ask, think, dream, dare to ask. Just ask Him. Just ask Him. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God and just ask. You know, most people never take advantage of God's resources. They don't tap into the blessings that God has for them. We've got to tap in. We've been talking about that in Sunday school, about walking in, you know, the authority that God has given us. We've got to tap in to, you know, all the blessings that God has for us, all the resources and everything that He has for us. I want us to go now to 1 Samuel. Y'all know this story. Y'all know this story. I hope y'all know this story. If you don't, y'all about to learn about David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17. Y'all all know the story about David and Goliath, right? And it's all with David and with us, it's all in how you see things. You got to quit looking at yourself and just start looking at the God you serve. Stop looking at you. I mean, if David had looked at himself facing a 9-foot Goliath, he would have been like, oh, I can't, no, I'm backing away too. No. But when David went out to fight Goliath, you know, all he took was 5 stones to fight Goliath. And everybody else was saying, oh no, don't go out there. He's too big. He's going to do this to you and he's going to do that to you. David said, look, this is how I see it. He's big, but he's too big to miss. I can't miss that big old joker. How can I miss him? He's standing 9 feet tall. I can't miss that. So David expected the best outcome when he went to fight Goliath. He expected it. He said, the lion, I've taken care of many of those. Bears, I've taken care of many of those. God's not going to let me down. God's right here. He's got me. Look at that big old joker over there. I can't miss that. I can't miss it. So he took that slingshot and boom, he let it fly. One rock. One. Had 4 others. They said that's because Goliath had 4 other brothers. So he was like, I got him and I'll get you too. You know? We also have to remember that God doesn't provide in ways that you're going to expect Him to provide in. He does things out of the box. So quit putting Him in a box. Quit saying you got to do it this way. God does it His way. His way. Go to Matthew 15. Now we're going to travel over there. Matthew 15. This is when Jesus fed the 4,000. Matthew 15, verse 32. And this is the NIV. It says, Jesus called His disciples to Him and said, compassion for these people. They have already been with me for 3 days and have had nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, "Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven." "Seven for 4,000 men. And a few little small fish." He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Satisfied. That's when you push the chair back from the table and you just unzip your pants and you just let it, you know, you satisfied. Okay? Anyway, okay. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000, besides the women and the children. 7 loaves and a few small fish. And they end up with 7 basketfuls left over. I mean, you think about the disciples. At that time, you know, they were like, "How in the world are we going to feed all these people?" Because they were thinking inside the box. You got to let God be God and let Him do whatever He wants to do. Okay? I mean, their way of thinking, probably would be my way of thinking too, if I'm going to be honest about you, is, you know, look. In order to obtain bread, you got to be near a city. It just said they were in a remote place. They weren't no cities around. Then you got to find a bakery that could supply enough bread for all those people. And you would have to have enough money to pay for all that bread and fish. And then you got to have a way to carry it to the people. They were thinking inside the box. I mean, think about it. Even in the natural today, even today, let's say you were going to have a wedding, all right? And you were going to do it at the state park. And you invite 100 people and you're saying, "We're going to feed you." And 1,000 people showed up. Ooh, that would take some planning on your part, just, you know, for that. And we live close to a town. That, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken would get a lot of business that day, I'm gonna tell you. All right. But you have to let God be God. You got to not put Him in a box. You just got to let Him do what He's going to do. You know, the disciples were limited by their sight. They saw, you know, 7 loaves and a few small fish. That's what they saw. And then they saw, we're in a remote place. We don't have the money. There's over 4,000 people here. There's 4,000 men here by themselves. And we got the children, and we got the women. What in the world are we going to do? That was their thinking. Their expectation was limited by their thinking. But God was like, "This ain't nothing to me. This is nothing to me. I can handle this. Bring on some more. I can handle whatever you throw at me." So we need to just learn to trust God. Just trust Him. You know, a lot of times we can't see how He's going to do it. We just got to know He's going to do it. You know, we just got to know that He's going to do it. A lot of times if we don't see a solution to it, then there's not a solution to it. We're like, we'll stay awake at night thinking about this and thinking about that and running different scenarios over in our mind. And God's going, what are you doing? Go to sleep. Get some sweet sleep. I got this. I have got this. God will always provide for His children. Always. Always. And He might not do it the same way every time. Your healing may not be the same way every time. You may come up here and you might get, bam, healed. Next time you come up here, you might have to walk out those doors and just believe God. It's going to happen. It might not be today, but it might be tomorrow. And tomorrow comes, it's not, Lord, it won't today, but that don't mean it won't be tomorrow. You just have to keep trusting Him. Trust Him. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when we were back there, God provided food for Adam and Eve. When the children went through the desert, God provided manna. When, was it Elijah that went to the brook? Elijah, is that right? Elijah went to the brook. He had ravens come and feed him. Each time was different. Then Elijah went to the widow woman. The widow woman gave him, you know, it just kept, the bread and the oil just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. Little boy's lunch. Don't ever put God in a box. Don't ever put Him in a box and say, well, he gave the children manna. I guess I'm going to be getting manna. You don't know. Let God be God. You know, God will exceed every single one of your expectations if you let Him. Let Him. You know, God not only forgives a sin, but He forgives all of your sins. More than what you expect. You know, God only loves you when you're good. He loves you when you mess up. You know, God not only heals your little pinky toe when you stub it and you're going through the house, but He will heal all your sicknesses and all your diseases. It tells you He does. He not only ransoms us from hell, He has provided a mansion for us in heaven. A mansion in heaven. He didn't just make a drop of water. He made the oceans. He made the seas. He made the lakes. He made the rivers. He made the streams. He made the tributaries. He made everything. And God didn't just make one star. He made galaxies. And then He named them. He named them. Every star. Every star. And He just didn't make a hill. He made mountains. He made, you know, the Rockies, the Smokies, the Andes, the Appalachians, all of those mountains. He goes beyond what we expect. You always get more than you expect with God. Always. Always. He will always exceed your expectations. So don't put God in a box. Let Him just go beyond. Let Him go beyond anything you could ever pray for, ask for, desire, dream, or even think of. He'll go beyond that. That's God. That's the God we serve. We serve a God of excellence. Excellence. Now, I know I gave y'all a lot of scripture verses tonight, but you'll just have to go back and read them for yourself. Okay? Read. When Mel and I go back to Noah again. When Mel and I went to see Noah, I bought a Bible in the bookstore. Yes, there was a Bible in the room. Yes, I brought a Bible. But I wanted to read it right then, what they said about Noah. I wanted to see it right then. I couldn't wait to get back to the room. I wanted to see it for myself. Because I guess I told y'all, I told Melvin too, I said, I will never, never read about Noah again in the same way prior to going as I do now. It is amazing. Amazing. So anyway, let's pray. Don't put God in a box. Don't put God in a box. Father, we just thank you for your word going forth here tonight. And we know that it will not return into you void. And I pray, Father God, that this word that I have spoken tonight, that you have given me to speak, take roots in our hearts and flourishes. And that we don't put you in a box. We let you be you and just have your way. Have your way in my life, in their life. Just do what you got to do, God. Do what you got to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.